Thank you for calling Lindberg MPH, a division of Thermal Product Solutions. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time. For sales, press 1. For accounting. For heat treat equipment sales, press 1. For non-ferrous equipment sales, press 2.
Good afternoon, Bill St. Thomas.
Hello, sir. Can I talk to Mr. Bill Thomas?
Speaking.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Bill. This is Sachin. Hope you remember we talked regarding ammonia crackers.
Yes.
So are you free to talk?
I'm actually traveling. I'll be back in my office on Monday. Can you call me then? I'll be glad to talk to you.
No, sir. It's really urgent. Can I talk for just 5 minutes? Monday would be very late, sir.
Okay, go ahead. Ask me a few questions.
Yeah. So, sir, for that, I have already also mailed you regarding my queries. And I will take 5 minutes of yours. And, previously, sir, we were discussing that, around just 0.1% of the overall ammonia goes to ammonia cracking applications, and you agreed to that point that only 0.1% of the overall ammonia consumption worldwide goes for ammonia cracking applications, right, sir?
Yeah, that seems about right, based upon the other markets that use ammonia.
Okay. My second thing was, If 0.1% is utilized for ammonia cracking applications, so in that 0.1%, we have small-scale ammonia cracking, medium-scale ammonia cracking, and large-scale ammonia cracking units. So do you agree that if we can take only 10% share to small-scale ammonia cracking market currently, because I believe there are only very less companies operating in small-scale ammonia cracking, and for large scale, there are other companies like Heldo, Topsy, ThyssenKrupp, Duker. So out of 0.1% of ammonia cracking applications, can we take just 10% to small scale ammonia cracking and rest of the 90% to medium scale and large scale? Do you agree to this?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Okay. So you believe 90% goes to medium scale and large scale applications, only 10% out of overall ammonia cracking goes to small scale ammonia cracking, right?
That's probably true, yes.
Okay. Then I believe for the upcoming 5 years, small scale ammonia cracking industry is expected to grow at a normal growth rate, not at a rapid growth rate. I believe the normal growth rate would be around just 3-4% in the upcoming 5 years, the growth of small-scale ammonia cracking industry to grow at about just 3-4%.
I think that's true.
Okay. So you agree that only 3-4% growth of small-scale ammonia cracking in the next 5 years, right?
Correct.
Okay. And sir, in terms of utilization of small scale ammonia cracking in different regions like North America, Europe, Asia Pacific, Middle East and Africa, and South America. And so we believe that currently for the year 2022, if you say small scale ammonia crackers are mostly utilized in Asia Pacific region, followed by Europe, then comes North America. Do you believe this is true?
I think so. I think the U.S. market is minimal, and its utilization is there's other processes that we do here based on the steels and that what we see in the heat treating industry. So I would say that Europe and Asia probably would be larger markets for that.
Okay. So can we take Asia Pacific at first position for utilization of ammonia cracking units currently for the year 2022, then Europe, then North America? Will that be true? Will that be correct?
I agree. Yes.
Okay. And okay, so you agree to that. So we have taken the share, of small scale cracking unit in terms of, a share out of 100%. So we have given Asia 37% to Asia Pacific, then Europe 26%, then North America 21%, then Middle East and Africa 10%, and South America just 4%. Do you agree to this percentage share that we have given?
Yes, I believe that could be true. Yes.
Okay. So Asia Pacific at first position, 37% with the largest, then 10% less we have given to Europe, that is 26. So 37 to Asia Pacific, 26% to Europe, 21% to North America, which is at third position, then Middle East and Africa fourth, 10.7%, then at last South America, it's 3.6%. Do you agree?
Yes, that's fine.
All right. And okay. And sir, so overall, the market which you have calculated for a small scale ammonia cracking units is close to around in terms of number of units sold globally. So we have taken that to be around 869 or 870 units globally, if we can say so. So do you think we are in a correct range, 870 units sold globally, small scale ammonia cracking of around 100 meters?
That's probably true based upon the U.S. market. Again, we've sold, in the last 100 years, we sold 280, and there's other companies. So, we might sell for the small market as we look at, we might sell 4 or 5 small units a year. Yeah, maybe 20 in the United States, and then, if you look at the larger capacities, I can see 800 or 900 being up feasible.
Okay. So you're saying that you cater to 20 units of ammonia cracker in a year?
220 units in the U.S.?
220 units, you said, 220 units.
Yeah, we've done, in 100 years, we sold 220 units.
Okay.
So we sell 2 or 3 a year just with Lindbergh.
Okay. So in a particular year, in an annual year from U.S., how much would be the selling units? Any idea?
I would say there's probably 10 to 15 units. These are, again, small capacity ammonia generators.
Okay, this 10 to 15 units, you are saying about your company, right?
Yeah, right, yes, that's it, just Lindbergh.
Okay, and what about if I want to calculate for overall U.S., so overall U.S. in terms of annual year, so can we take 100-200 units for small-scale ammonia cracking units for a overall year, annual year?
I would say 100 would probably be about right.
Okay. So probably 100 units for overall U.S. in an annual year. The U.S. would be selling ammonia cracking units small-scale, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So if U.S. sells 100 units, so European could be 200 or 300.
Yeah, I can't speak for you. I'm not so sure what the markets are over there, but I agree with you that their market probably is twice what the U.S. market is, maybe almost twice of what we are. Your assumptions of the percentages are about right, 30, 20, and a low 20. And again, I think in the United States, we would probably sell some 20 units a year. So, you know, maybe Europe would sell 50 units. But I would say overall for the whole world for, you know, for ammonia dissociators, you might be looking at 100 to 120 units a year total for the world.
120 units or for the U.S. only? Yes.
Yes, correct.
Maybe
20 or 25 for the U.S. I don't think there's 40 generators sold a year.
All right. So I agree 100 to 120 units for overall USA. They would be selling for small scale, and for worldwide, the total units that you agree to it, like 870 or 880 units would be sold in a year worldwide.
Yeah, that's might be high, but I could see that as possible. Yes.
Okay. If you think that is high, then how much could be the number? Is it 600, 700, or 870 that we have taken for the year 2022? That seems about right.
Yeah, for 1 year, I would probably say 300 total.
Okay, 300 total for a global.
Yes.
Okay, 300 global units sold for small-scale ammonia tracking units. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, in terms of revenue, we have calculated the revenue from worldwide revenue from ammonia small-scale ammonia crackers to be around $10,633.
Yeah, that would be very small cracker. I would say they probably would average more like $50,000 for the very, very small ones, up to, you know, $400,000, based upon the capacity size.
Yeah, you're saying about the prices, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But. Okay. $1,000. Okay, so this seems a bit low to you. Because the revenue that we have estimated for overall small scale ammonia crackers market in the year 2022, we have estimated to be around 10,000. Okay, $10,633.
I believe it would be more than that. I don't. Ammonia generator, even the small 150 cubic foot is probably worth $100,000, and the 6,000 is probably worth $400,000. So there isn't any generators that I know that under 100 cubic feet that are purchased, and they certainly, I don't think they'd be $10,000. I think you'd be looking at least $100,000 for a ammonia generator.
Okay. So in that way, I can calculate. So as you said, for 150 MQ per hour, the price, normal price is $100,000, right? And
for 100 cubic feet, yeah.
Okay. 100 cubic feet or 150 MQ cubic?
Say 150. Yeah, 150 is our standard. And you're looking at 100,000. The 6,000 is about $400,000. So if you look at that, the average, 3,000 unit might be $25,000, $200,000 as a general rule of thumb. And if you use that as the basis, and I'd say you say 20 units are sold or 25 units are sold, you're looking at 20 times 200, so you're looking at, $500,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or no, $5 million a year.
All right. So, sir, you said the normal price for 150 MQ per hour capacity is $100,000. So if we can take
Correct.
250 MQ per hour ammonia cracker, so what would be the price of 250 meter cube per hour capacity? Can we take that to be around $200,000 price for 250 meter cube per hour capacity?
Yes.
Okay. So for 150 meter cube per hour, is it $100,000? And for 250 meter cube per hour, it's $200,000 average price.
Yes, and then if you go to, you know, 1,000 or 3,000, those are like $400,000, and then, you know, the 600,000 is probably, you know, the 400 range, and the 3 is probably 300. So.
Okay. So, sir, so as you said, you are confirmed about U.S. Overall U.S. in U.S. In an annual year, the overall selling units of ammonia cracker is to be around 100 units in an annual year. And we previously discussed that the shares that we have provided for other regions. So, yes. So for Asia Pacific, we have provided the share to 37%, and for North America, we have provided 21%. So in that way, if North America, which is mainly dominant by U.S., so if you have taken 100 units for North America and as in U.S. and 37% we have given to Asia Pacific. So in that way, we can assume that if 100 units goes for North America, so 17% we have given more to Asia Pacific. So we can increase that units in that way. So how much the percentage increase that we have given to Asia Pacific, we can increase that much units to Asia Pacific. So if 100 units
Yeah,
in this.
I don't see. I don't think the growth is very much. It's probably pretty stable at around 100 units. You know, that's the way I would look at it. I don't think there's anything that's driving the market for ammonia dissociators other than the heat treating market. Again, you had mentioned fertilizers and maybe fuel power, hydrogen gas cars and things like that. Now, I have no
Yes.
idea what those markets use or utilize, what their factors are. It's just, again, I'm just basically focused in on heat treating. So.
Okay. No worries, sir, because the idea behind that is if you are giving 100 units to a US as in units sold in an annual year, and if you are considering that number to be in the North America, and we have given larger share to Asia Pacific to be around 37%. So if 100 goes in US, so we can probably give the number around 200 units in Asia Pacific, because the percentage share is being
I
is
agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
all right. So in that way, I'm assuming because 21%, if they are giving to North America, and that sells around 100 units, and we are giving 37% to Asia Pacific, so we can increase some units in Asia Pacific in that way. So North America is 100 units, so we can give 200 units to Asia Pacific.
Yes.
And for Europe, we have just 5% increase as compared to North America. So 21% we have given to North America and 26% to Europe. So if 100 units goes in North America, so we can give somewhat like 140 or 150 units in Europe.
Correct.
So in that case, we can certainly calculate the number. So in that way, I believe 100 in North America, 150 in Europe, that comes around 250. Then Asia Pacific, we have given 200, so it comes around 450. And we can give some units in Middle East and Africa and South America. So we are coming up to 500, around 500 units sold in 500 units sold of small scale ammonia crackers of capacity of around 200 meter cube per hour. So 500 units of small scale ammonia crackers unit sold in the year 2022. Now it looks okay to you?
Yes, that's what that is something I could agree to. Yes.
Okay. So you were disagreeing with the number that we have previously provided, like 870 or 880 units. So in that,
yeah,
in
that's, this, far, like, that's far too. Yeah, that's far even. Yeah, that's far too many for the world. Yes, more like 500
okay.
would be the number I would agree to.
Okay, 500 units, and so if we have 500 units as an ammonia cracker, and if we can multiply that into the price that we are normally have, that $100,000, so we can easily arrive to our the value for ammonia cracking units sold in that year.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay. All right. Just a second. So, sir, so you said 3 to 4% would be the growth rate for next 5 years, and in revenue terms, can I give the share? Can I give the growth rate to be around 4%, and I can decrease some growth rate in the volume, because always the growth rate in value terms would be larger as compared to volume. So can I give the growth rate of 4% in revenue of ammonia cracking sold, and around 3.8% in volume growth? Would that be okay?
Yes. That'd be fine. Yep.
All right. Okay, so sir, and in terms of region also, so going further also, I believe Asia Pacific would grow at the largest rate, then Europe, then North America. Do you agree to this point? For the upcoming 5 years, Asia Pacific to grow at the fastest growth rate, then Europe, then North America?
I would agree with that.
Okay. And in terms of, sir, percentage share, we have given Middle East and Africa as 10% of the overall small-scale ammonia cracking market, and then 4% to South America. Do you agree that we should give largest share to Middle East and Africa region, and then South America region?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. And sir, in terms of our top companies delivering small scale ammonia cracking units of around of capacity of around 250 nmq per hour or 200 mq per hour, so we have taken top companies like we have considered some of the top companies like Lindbergh as your company, Suzhou Sinch Gas from China, because they also distribute in European regions and other Asia Pacific regions. So they have also, various capacities of small scale ammonia cracking. So Lindbergh, we have taken as top producers of small scale ammonia crackers. Then Sinch Gas.
In the United States, there's Lindbergh, I would say Surface Combustion Company.
Okay. Can you spell that company? Can you spell that company? Surplus.
Surface. Yes. SURFACE, and then combustion. COMBUSTION. They're in Ohio. Another company would be Gas Bear. Yep. Gas Bear is GASBARRE. They're also in Michigan.
Okay.
And then the other one that's also would be Seco Warwick, SECO, And then the second word is Warwick, W-A-R-I-C-K. Those are probably the four major heat treating ammonia associating manufacturers in the United States.
Yeah.
And then in Europe, the biggest manufacturers would be Eichling, they're in Austria, A-I-C-H-E-L-I-N, Eichling. And the other one in Germany would be Ipsen, I-P as in Peter, S-E-N. Those are the three major manufacturers in Europe.
Okay, so I was having trouble, listening to that name, sir. I just understood a gas bar, that's the company name. And what the
Seco,
first term?
Seco Warwick. Yeah, is S-E-C-O. Yeah. I can send you those in a text if you want. Seco Warwick, surface combustion and gas bear. G-A-S-B-A-R-R-E.
Yeah, gas bear I have written. What about the other company? Surface combustion I have written.
Yes,
what's the first name of the...
Seco Warwick, S-E-C-O.
Okay,
and
S-E-C-O.
Surface S-E-C-O. And the last part of the name is Warwick, W-A-R-W-I-C-K. They're in Pennsylvania.
Okay, Seco Warwick. Seco Warwick.
Yes. They're also in Poland.
Okay. And what the first company you said, surface combustion. Okay. Can you spell
surface,
that word?
Surface combustion. Yes, surface is S-U-R-F-A-C-E. And then the second word is combustion. C-O-M-C is in boy, U-S-T-I-O-N, combustion.
Okay. You're trying to say surface combustion, S-U-R-F-A-C-E, then combustion,
yes.
Surface combustion.
Yes.
Okay. So I have written down three names properly. So it's Gasbar as first. Surface combustion as second, and third one is Seco Warwick.
Yes, those and Lindbergh, those are probably the four largest providers of ammonia dissociators in the United States.
Okay. What's the fourth one, sir? We have written surface combustion, we have written
Seco Warwick, yes, and then Lindbergh, of course.
Okay, so Seco Warwick. Yeah, Seco Warwick is one, surface combustion is one, Lindbergh is one, and another one?
Gas Bear, G-A-S-B-A-R-R-E.
Yes, okay, so Gas Bar, Seco Warwick, surface combustion, and Lindbergh, these four companies.
Yes.
Okay, and sir, apart from that, we have taken other companies like, we have included Gasbar as one of the leading company, then obviously yours, Lindbergh. And from Asia Pacific, we have Suzhou Sins Gas. It's from China, and they produce and supplies to European and other APAC countries also. So we have Gasbar, we have Lindbergh.
I don't know the Chinese company, and the only European companies, again, would be Seco Warwick. They're in Poland. And then Ipsen, I-P-S-E-N, they're in Germany. And then Eichling, A-I-C-H-E-L-I-N, they're in Austria. Those are the three major players, major manufacturers in Europe.
Okay. So first name you said Ipsen, I-I-P, I for India, P for Parrot, S for Sweden, E for England, and N for Netherlands. Ipsen from Germany.
Yes, correct.
Okay, then for Eichling, you were saying the name from Eichling. Can you spell that name?
A as in apple, I as in ice, C as in
okay.
Charlie, H as in house, E as in Ernie, L as in like, I as in ice, N as in Nancy.
Okay, okay. So, okay. So, A for Apple, A, I for India, C for Cat, H for Holland, E for England, L for Lion, I for India, N for Netherlands, Iceland from Poland.
Right. Yeah, and they're in Austria.
Okay, they're in Austria. Okay.
And then Sika Warwick again, but Sika Warwick is also in Poland.
All right, all right. So SECOWARWICK, Sika Warwick.
Correct.
Okay.
Those are the three major players of Europe that I know of.
All right, all right. And so you already agreed that, you know, Asia Pacific would be the largest one. So some players from the Asia Pacific would also be the largest in ammonia cracking market.
Yes.
Okay. 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 All right, sir. So you said you know already confirmed that around 500 units sold of ammonia cracking units in the year 2022 looks fine to you, and when we convert that into value terms, value or revenue of ammonia cracking, small scale ammonia cracking units sold, and the price of that is around $100,000. So obviously, if we can, you know, multiply that into 500 units, so we can get that number.
Correct.
Just a second.
Should be about $50 million.
Okay, okay, so all right. So if we multiply 500 units into 100,000 dollars, so it will be $50 million, as you're saying.
Correct. That's what the market size would be per year for ammonia dissociator generators.
Okay, so for ammonia cracking units of small scale of around 200 meter cube per hour capacity, the revenue sold would of ammonia cracking small scale units would be $50 million in the year 2022.
Yeah, I'll give you one other company too I forgot about. They're in Canada. It's called Nitrex, N-I-T-R-E-X.
Yeah, I have come across that company, but that company has very, very low capacity, just around 4 meter cube or 7 meter cube capacities of ammonia crackers.
Right.
Right, right, right.
And I think they're also in Europe as well. But I'm not, I can't speak for them in Europe. I don't know them in Europe. The other companies I mentioned, I work for the other companies.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah, no worries. Mm-hmm. So, sir, in terms of units, we are getting the small-scale ammonia cracking units sold in the year 2022 to be around 500 units. And if you are, in terms of value or revenue sold of small-scale ammonia cracking units of around 200 meter cube, the value is around $50 million. So $50 million, looks very huge market, but the prices of this is very large. So this market would be okay, right? $50 million looks huge, very huge. If we are also saying that ammonia tracker market is very limited currently, very less utilized. But looking at this number, $50 million, you know, it's also looks a bit huge. Not huge because $50 million is not that much, right, sir?
That world, yeah, for the whole world, it's not a big number.
Yeah, correct, correct. So, you know, if it would have been around in billion, so that looks a bit, that would have looked a bit huge. But if it's just coming around 50 million, 50 million is not that much, so we can obviously count on this, right? Okay. All right. Profession, and
Yeah, I found some other printed technical articles that I'll send you on Monday. I know it might be late, but this is just for support of the ammonia gases and companies that look at, you know, that participate in this market on a different scale. Like Air, you know, Linde would be one, Air Products would be another,
Yes.
and some others that have done some studies. So, but I'll send you those as support information for you.
Okay, sir. Okay, so sir, Ishap, you know, we have already talked about the market in different regions. So if we can, you know, and you already said that currently also Asia Pacific, then Europe, then North America is leading, and in future also we can, you know, provide the largest growth rate to Asia Pacific, and then in Europe, then in North America. So we can accordingly provide growth rates in the upcoming futures also. First to Asia Pacific, then Europe, then North America. Right, sir, because you know the highest growth rate we can provide to Asia Pacific region for the upcoming 5 years, then for we can provide that for Europe, then for North America, right?
Yeah, I can't speak for you. I could just say the U.S. would probably be, you know, 3 to 4%. I do think that the largest growth rate would be for the Pac Rim or Asia, you know, the Vietnamese, the Thailand, the Malaysian markets. I think those see far more growth in that business sector than the U.S. is. Now, when I say U.S., I also think about Mexico and Canada as well. So I would say the North American market.
Okay.
But again, I see just a small growth of, you know, 2, 3, 4% would be in line with what you would anticipate.
Okay. And sir, it is also been anticipated that this market, ammonia cracker market, is going to be, you know, is going to be picked up, or it is expected to rapidly grow in the year of 29 or 30. Before that, it is expected to grow at a normal growth rate, but it is going to be picked up at the year of 2030, around 2029 or 2030. Do you agree?
Yeah, I say so. I think it's gonna, you know, I think the uses that I see are still there for it. But again, you know, ammonia crackers, again, it's more for some heat treating applications. And I do see that the nitriding market is a popular and growing market in North America. Now, as far
Okay.
as the others, the fertilizer, as I mentioned, I have no idea what the other 99% of the ammonia users are using it for.
All right. Okay. And sir, this thing with regards to end applications of ammonia crackers, and so do you believe that with, you know, the applications of ammonia crackers are different, like it goes in metal treatment, then fuel generation, power generation, fuel cell and power generation. So the output gas flow, or the output gas output gas, you know, capacity would change as as we go for different applications, or it remains the same, the output gas capacity?
It's the same. Again, it's the biggest market that I see is for nitriding, for generators for nitriding. And then there's some for, I would call annealing applications for some alloy steels or brazing
Okay.
applications. But the vast majority of the ammonia dissociated market is probably 85% would be nitriding and the 15% would be annealing or brazing.
Okay. So if we are talking about worldwide major applications of ammonia crackers, so you are saying first would be nitriding. Majorly it goes for nitriding worldwide.
Yes.
Okay, so after nitriding, we're saying annealing process, right?
Yeah, annealing and brazing.
Okay,
They're
annealing
both,
and
they're about equal. Yeah, I'd put them at 7% each, 7 or 8%, and again, 85% would be nitriding.
okay. So, sir, so you disagree to this point, like if you are using ammonia crackers for different applications, so the so for each of the applications, is it won't be like output gas capacity would be different. Output gas capacity for each of the application would be the same, right?
Yes.
Okay, so for if you're using ammonia crackers for nitriding, so the capacity would be let's suppose 200 meter cube per hour, and for annealing and brazing also, it would be around 200 meter cube per hour. It won't be a difference, right?
There isn't much of a difference because the furnace chambers are both about the same size. The retort or the mesh belt furnace both has about the same cubic meters of heatable workspace. So yeah, one there might be one where you'd have a larger furnace, but then the smallest. But on an average, you're looking at 200 cubic feet to 500 cubic feet per furnace. And then again, but you're still using the same 75% hydrogen, 25% nitrogen ratio that you're getting out of the generator.
Okay. So the output gas which we are getting out of end applications of ammonia crackers like hydrogen and nitrogen, so the capacity which we are getting of hydrogen and nitrogen utilizing different applications, so output gas would be same for each of the application, irrespective of any application which we are using. So the output gas would be same for everyone.
Correct.
All right. And sir, what about preferred capacity by application? So is it like for if you are using for metal treatment, then brazing, then annealing. So in different application, volume of gas output per hour would be different, or it will be the same for each application?
It's about the same. It depends upon furnace sizes, but I would say that the consumption's about the same.
Okay. So if you are applying 250 meter cube, 200 meter cube per hour capacity for different applications, so what would be the volume of gas output per hour in that case?
Well, you'd be looking at 200 cubic feet an hour. I mean, that's what, again, it depends. If it's a small furnace, it only uses 50 cubic feet. If it's a larger furnace, it might use 200. But, and same with the belt furnace. You might have a smaller little 4-inch wide belt, and somebody else might have a 12-inch wide belt. So the usage or the amount of gas used is based upon the size of the furnace that the product is being treated in. So if it's a big furnace, it uses a lot of gas. Small furnace is small. But, you could probably use 200 cubic feet as a nominal number for each application, just as an average. Some use less, some use more. I would say somewhere between to 100 to 150 cubic feet per hour, it would be a nominal gas flow for usage per application.
Okay. Sir, can you please repeat your in between your voice got break.
Yeah, the typical an average gas flow of GA gas is probably somewhere between 100 and 150 cubic feet an hour per furnace.
Okay. All right.
It might be more for a larger furnace, and it might be less for a smaller furnace.
Okay. So you're saying for an average for each of the application, the output of gas would be around 150 cubic meter per hour or cubic feet per hour?
Yes.
Okay. So you said 150 cubic feet per hour or 150 meter cube per hour?
No, cubic feet.
Okay. Okay, so it depends on the furnace. So, for the large scale application, the volume of gas output would go a bit higher as compared to 150, and if for small scale, it would go low.
Correct.
Okay. So if we are using this for nitriding application, so what could be the preferred capacity for a nitriding application? What could be the volume of gas output per hour?
Oh, it could be as high as 1,000 cubic feet. I mean, if it's a huge chamber, it's I can't guess. And I don't know how many huge furnaces are out there. So you could go up to 1,000 cubic feet, but normally it's a smaller, 10% of the full year. Again, I would say could be as high as 400 cubic feet an hour and as small as 10. So that would be the range. But I'm saying as an average, you probably got to look at 150 cubic feet an hour for a typical nitriding application.
Okay. So for nitriding, it's 150 cubic feet an hour of capacity.
Yeah, and you'd have the same thing for annealing or brazing would be the same amount of flow as an average.
Okay. All right. Any difference in terms of application? Maybe a smaller level of capacity would be required for annealing as compared to nitriding. So if you are taking an average of 150 cubic feet to nitriding and annealing, is it a possibility that the capacity would be a bit low, like 130 cubic feet or 140 as compared to nitriding?
Oh yeah, it could be. But I'm just saying as a general statement, as an average, 150 cubic feet is normally used for either brazing or annealing or nitriding. It's about the same capacity. You have a sealed round retort that's so big in diameter and so deep, and then you have a furnace that is so wide and so long and so high. So you have to look at the amount of gas flow that you have, and sometimes these are normally belt furnaces, so the belt might only be 12 inches wide and 10 foot long, but only 4 inches high. So that volume, that cubic volume, is the same as a nitriding furnace that might be 24 inches in diameter by 36 inches deep. So one is round and the other one's a rectangle, but they both typically use about the same amount of gas, which would be 150 to 200.
Okay.
Can they be larger? Yes. Yeah. You could probably go down to 10 cubic feet, and then you might go up as high as 600 cubic feet, depending upon the size of the furnace.
Okay. So it won't be like that the capacity for annealing would be a bit low as compared to nitriding. It would be all the same for each of the applications.
Yes, about the same as an average across the board.
All right, all right. And sir, in terms of by application, so is it like for nitriding, we would be requiring absorber or purifier along with ammonia cracking unit, and for other annealing and brazing, we won't be requiring absorber or purifier along with ammonia cracker. Is it like that, or for each of the applications,
Yeah,
there is
yeah,
really?
yeah. It depends. You might use a absorption dryer more for brazing than you would for annealing. And for nitriding, you typically wouldn't use, you wouldn't be using the absorption dryer so much for the nitriding application. So I see more absorption dryers being used for brazing applications.
So you are saying that dryer are mostly sold along with for brazing applications and annealing applications, and not so much dryer is being used for nitriding applications.
Correct.
So if a customer wants to purchase for brazing applications and annealing applications, so most chances would be there, like it would they would purchase a dryer along with ammonia crackers, and for nitriding application, if they want, they won't be purchasing a dryer.
Yeah, typically.
Okay, so sir, this dryer is similar to purifier or absorber, or is it different?
It's a dryer. It's made by, there's a company that makes the dryers called Electro Dryer. ELECTRO. And I believe they're in the east. I want to say Connecticut or Pennsylvania. Electro, ELECTRO, hyphen dryer.
So
And you'll see this.
ELECTRO dryers,
No, it's
electro
L.
dryers.
Yes. It's L, L as in Larry, NELEL. I think it's LELECTRO, Electro Dryer, DRYER. And they're on, you can look them up on the website. They have a full list of their sizes and capacities as well. Might be somebody you want to talk to.
All right. So, sir, here in this case, I was asking about the absorber or purifier. So according to you, dryer is not same as absorber or purifier.
What's that?
Because along with ammonia cracking units, customers also purchase absorber or purifier along with ammonia cracking units. And you said that dryer is being used for brazing and annealing, and not for nitriding applications. So this dryer is similar to purifier that customers normally purchases along with ammonia cracking units, or is it different?
Oh, it's the same. Thanks. It's an absorption dryer. And yeah, they're probably still 10% of the application. You could ask Electro Dryer how many they sell a year. That would be a good barometer for you. I can't speak for them, but normally it's like 1 out of 10 generators that we sell, we always are asked to quote the dryer as well. So depends on the applications. But again, more brazing.
So you agree that this dryer is also known as absorber or purifier,
Yes.
Okay. And sir, just last thing that so typically these end markets like nitriding, annealing, brazing, heat treatment. So they already have ammonia used for other purpose, or they obtain these ammonia as a byproduct?
No, they normally buy the ammonia in bulk. You'll either buy it in a bulk, a tank, or you buy it in bottles. And again, depending upon the amount of flow. So if it's a very small furnace and you're only using 15 or 20 or 30 cubic feet of ammonia, they'll buy the ammonia gas in bottles. You'll buy 6 or 8 bottles in a manifold. They're all connected. So, and that's what they'll use for the ammonia gas. For larger applications, you'll buy bulk ammonia in a large tank. And you would typically buy that from somebody like, you'd buy that from Linde or Air Products or those are the ones that come to mind for me.
Okay, understood. So you're saying these end markets don't already have ammonia already in their units. They always buy ammonia. They only buy ammonia as a byproduct from different company, right?
Right. They buy it. They buy it as a raw ammonia, and then they may use the raw ammonia for nitriding, and then they use the dissociated motor generator for the second phase of the nitriding. Again, it's depending upon the process.
Okay. So they typically buy ammonia as a byproduct, or maybe they would be utilizing or dealing with other chemicals, and they would be obtaining ammonia as a byproduct of any other product. They simply don't have
just like nitrogen or hydrogen gas or argon gas, ammonia gas is sold the same way. It's in a container of some capacity, and you purchase it from the gas companies.
Okay. So it could be the case that these end markets, would be dealing with other companies or other products, and in that production process of other product, ammonia is being produced as a byproduct, and they utilize that ammonia, which are obtained as a byproduct.
Correct.
Okay. So, sir, in terms of catalyst, you said nickel is largely being used for ammonia cracking purpose, small-scale ammonia cracking purpose, by most of the companies. Any other catalyst which other companies are also utilizing except nickel?
I don't think so. I think we're all using the same type of nickel impregnated cubes. Years ago, it was pure nickel shot, but I don't think anybody's using that anymore. You'd have to ask them. I'm not privy to their product that much, what they make and what they use. But I know that Lindbergh uses a nickel impregnated catalyst cube.
Okay. And sir, you said that GasBar is one of the key companies, and also.
Yes.
You said that the typical operating temperature is around 980 degrees Celsius or 1000 degrees Celsius for these 100 meter cube per hour capacity or 200 meter cube per hour capacity. So gas bar would also be operating at a temperature of 1000 degrees Celsius. Would that be a possibility?
Yeah, we all do. It's all the same temperature for creating dissociated ammonia.
Okay.
That's so like 1750 to 1800 degrees up. Yes.
Okay. So 1000 degrees Celsius for a gas bar would be all right.
Yes.
Okay. And in terms of operating pressure and output gas pressure also, like in Lindbergh that you have mentioned, like 0.5 would be the operating pressure and output gas pressure would be 0.6 bar. So similarly, it would be there for gas bar also. 0.6, 0.5 or 0.6 would be the operating pressure, and 0.7 would be the output gas pressure.
And it goes to a flow meter, then that's, you know, regulated down into the furnace. You can contact all of them and ask them what they typically use, but you'll find that that's very typical. Half, you know, 14 inches of water column or half a bar pressure.
No worries. In terms of also, I believe would be chemical.
Hello? You're breaking up on me. Hello?
Yeah,
Call me
am I
back.
audible now? Am I now audible?
Yes, I
Hello?
hear you.
Yes. So
Can you hear
talking
me?
like yeah, I can hear you. I can hear.
Okay, I'm going to give you about another 5 minutes, and I have to sign off. I have some other people to call.
Yeah, just 5 minutes, sir. Just 5 minutes. So gas bar would also be utilizing nickel as a catalyst.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And in terms of energy source, I believe gas bar would also be utilizing electric as a major energy source as compared to gas, right? So dominantly they would be
Yeah.
using electric source.
Yes, I believe so. They might surface combustion and gas fire might make gas-fired units. You would have to ask them. I can't speak for them exactly. But Limburg is predominantly electrically heated generators.
So they can on unit. They would be utilizing both electric or gas.
Correct.
Okay. And sir,
But you'll
what
have to ask.
about?
Yeah,
Oh.
I can't speak for them. You'll have to ask them, but I believe that to be true.
Okay. So yeah, according to you, the most probably they would be using electric source for their operations.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, in terms of top solutions of there, I believe what could be the their top solutions or unique solutions they'll be providing?
You'd have to ask them.
Okay. No worries. So sir, in terms of Lindbergh dimensions and weight, so for 100 meter cube per hour or 4,000 CFH capacity of ammonia cracker, so we have written down the weight of ammonia cracker of 4,000 CFH capacity to be around 10,000 kg as a weight. So is it
I
correct?
think so.
Then, okay. And in terms of dimension, we have written 2184 into 2032 into 3429 mm dimension.
Yes, as far as if you looked at our brochure, that's a standard overall dimension. Again, every furnace has a retort and has its own size. So the larger you go in size, the larger the overall space. That's what
Okay,
that,
okay.
if you look at the brochure, that'll give you the overall dimensions and the weight. And then the larger generators might have two retorts. The smaller ones only have one.
Okay. So, sir, I have written down one company, Driver Industrial Furnace or Abbott Furnace Company. So, we have found this company also in ammonia cracking, small scale ammonia cracking. So, do you believe this company could also be one of the key companies offering in US?
Who was that?
Abbott Furnace Company or Driver Industrial Furnaces.
Abbott is a belt furnace manufacturer. I'm not sure if they make generators or not. I don't think they do, but you could call them up and ask them.
So we have asked that, and they also produce. We also provide ammonia dissociators.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so they could also be a big company in this.
not as big as Lindbergh, but they could be. Yeah, I can't speak for them. I don't know their sales. I'm not real familiar with their product line. The companies that I mentioned are the ones that you'll find on a website. You'll simply have to call them up and ask them questions just like you're asking me. I can speak from Lindbergh, but I can only talk in generalities of other companies.
Okay, no worries.
I understand the processes and the temperatures, but I can't speak for what other companies do or how many they sell or what their key features are. You'll have to do that yourself.
Okay, no worries. So, sir, the number which we have estimated, like 500 units and 50 million dollars.
I'm going to have to let you go. Yeah, Saran, I'm going to have to let you go. I got to make some calls.
I'll help you out.
If you have need any more information, give me a call on Monday.
Just a minute, sir. So 500 units that we have estimated is for 200 meter cube per hour capacity of ammonia crackers, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.